Welcome back. Going into hour number two of Swan Song Stories.
Jeff.
Yeah. What does Mr. Sakarian do? Do we see, do we cut right back to it? Or are we cutting back a few minutes later when he's like realized that she's dead?
I think we come back to him like kind of realizing it's gone on too long and she's lost and he stops.
Do I think the ninja's gone? Like, because I would probably speak up at this point. Like, I know what happened. I would, at least I have an idea. Like, I wouldn't want to watch Sakarian go through anguish as a result of this person. I'm like, what are you doing, Miss Sakarian?
I might be staring at Mr. Fugazi, though. Like, the ninjas could be about. So,
okay, yeah. So maybe we see Fugazi. You like start to say something, and do you interrupt, or do you just give Fugazi the like?
I don't know. I guess I look at him and I say, "Well, like we said, she was one of us, so she has to be all right."
I'm just looking down at her. Like I've stopped. Obviously, he's not crying or anything like that, but he's like just shaking with emotion, and he's like, "I fucking can't stand this. I told her that we would protect her. We knew the threat was coming. We knew what to expect, and still she's gone. Like, why? What is this? Why? She was living here. They came. We said we'd protect her. She's gone. It's why?"
I'm like torn as I look at Sakarian and I want to be like, it's going to be okay, dude. And then, I'm getting these sort of vibes from Lost. And I think my vibes from Lost, like, because I still don't know the reasons for why she did what she did. So I just kind of am like giving that head signal towards Sakarian, like, you're just going to let this happen?
Yeah.
I'm looking down at her. I don't see any signs or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Have all the ninjas fled the area? I look around and then I look back at Mr. Fugazi.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to make a perception check, Fugazi can help you with that. Take a look around.
Okay, I'm just not sure if we would, even if we passed it, I'm not sure if we would actually see anything.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on how well you do. But let's make the roll, because you're taking a second to like look around. Your character is obviously like curious about whether it's safe now.
Int?
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Okay. All right. And then, Fugazi, you want to... I mean, yeah, you don't actually have to help, because if you do,
okay,
it won't make any difference. Okay. So it's hard to tell, right? Because all you can see is like these kind of grimy windows and the rain outside. And then just the inside area of the room. You're in a big, kind of a big open ground floor area. You can see sort of in the shadows at the other end of it, there's maybe like a cafe or some other stuff. It's like a TV station, basically, the ground floor. There's like a, what was it, an elevator bank with some stairs next to it. But it's all quite dark and there's a lot of dust, so it's hard to say.
Should we go back to where it's safe? Or should we stay here?
I mean, well, we had the fucking, I think we should stay here. Like, we're in the tower, right? Aren't we going to try to make comms? Like, I think we need to stay put and try to make the right connections.
Yeah.
I as I hear you guys saying this, he kind of comes to, still looking down at her. He's just like, we believe this tower to have the ability to contact the Photonhour group. We need to just contact them.
PK?
I think she's, so you look at her, we haven't really like seen or like checked on her at all. And so when you say that, we see her looking, she's looking at Sakarian and looking at the body and she's shaking her head. She's like, so fucked up. Fucked up, man. And you like look over and you say her name and she kind of like starts and she's like, what?
We're in the tower. There's comm equipment here. We need to make a distress call, anything we can. Photonhour.
What are you looking at me for? You're the fucking techie. Why don't you do something about it?
What? What? It, I. All right, fine. It's all my job. Let's fucking heal, keep him alive. Fucking, I guess is part of keeping him alive. All right, I go investigate then.
I'd be like, Mr. Lost, we're not traveling alone anymore. You should go with him. PK and I can stay here. We'll hold the door. Stay on comms, though, or just shout if anything's happening. But I don't know if those things have gone away or not.
Okay. Make sure the bodies are safe so that we can give them a proper burial. Remember, LT Grey is also dead.
Let's not forget the loyal LT Grey who died nobly. Because
Stands up and kind of like shakes his hands out a little bit. He's like, yeah, I will secure the bodies. Just make contact as soon as possible and come back down here. We still don't know if we have hostiles in the area or not. This tower is supposed to be occupied. It's not. It should not read as normal.
You got it. I start following upstairs.
Okay. So, where are you gonna look for a the comms room? Like, where do you go?
Like, if this is a traditional comm tower, I assume there would be some sort of signage that would lead me to the right location. So,
mm-hmm. Do you speak Spanish?
What?
You speak Spanish?
I do speak Spanish. Yes, okay. I do.
So El Radio Tower reveals its secrets unto you. There's a directory. There's a directory that shows you where various things in the building are. Mostly the building is like offices and studios. So there's like studio space for recordings. I think, yeah, you find on the display, there's like a central, broadcast room.
Do we have comms at this point?
They're spotty, but as long as you're within reasonably close range, you can stay in touch.
Okay. Maybe I just calmed everyone. Like, I found, what I need. I'm going to head there. I'm lost.
Okay. Right. So the two head there. I think that we see you then, like, we cut to, I mean, obviously we don't have to like follow you all the way up all the stairs and stuff, but sometime later, you're making your way through a kind of a surreal scene. There are several standing walls and then doors through them. And maybe we follow the two of you through what looks like a living room. It's like a couch and like a TV. And you open a door, Lost opens the door, and then you pass through. You're moving kind of military style through these. And you walk out into like a totally incongruous room, like a room that wouldn't be connected to a like a living room. So maybe into like a science lab or something. There's like beakers on a table. So you're moving through all of these like kind of dusty, slightly damaged sets. But you're far enough into the building that they're still all in more or less like normal condition. Maybe there's like a 3D camera knocked over, and there's some other signs that the building has been damaged, but inside it's mostly the same. And then you reach a door that says in Spanish, but I don't know what it is in Spanish, but it says basically like broadcast, central broadcasting.
Okay. And this is where I think I can make the call from.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I go in and start checking the status of equipment.
Okay. All right. So you come inside and, there are just like banks of, 3D like projection equipment. So it's all turned off now. So we just get these kind of like half domes on one wall. And then there's a big desk of mixers and, various like production equipment. You could use any of these to access the broadcast system, but none of them have any power. The power in the building is all out.
Immediately just calm in like, well, we got everything we need here. In fact, we have more than enough. We could send out a fucking signal to every goddamn motherfucker on this planet if we wanted to, if we had power.
So yes, Karen, you hear that over your...
Which we do not.
I'm like... So it just kind of cuts to me. I'm just like moving LT Gray, check this pulse kind of thing, putting him in a away from the door type of thing. So if someone came in the door, it would be readily obvious that there's dead bodies there. And he just kind of speaks in the comm. He's like, well, may you perhaps look for power then. We'll continue to secure the door, and if you need our assistance, we can move to that objective as well. We're just moving the bodies away from obvious line of sight.
Can I assess, Adam, like, the whole building is without power, so... Yeah.
I mean, you didn't see any lights on or anything on your way up here.
Okay. In my initial directory, did I see anything that might lead me to believe, oh, here's where I probably need to go to do that? I mean, I guess I just like, I would just assume that somewhere in the basement or the sublevels, there would be some sort of generator or.
Yeah, usually this kind of building, right, it's connected to the local power grid, and if that goes out, then emergency power comes on, but that's only really for lighting. There wouldn't necessarily be a generator, though it is like a broadcast. There might be like an emergency generator for like governmental emergency broadcast systems. There'd probably be something around.
Well, but why don't I go investigate why the backup hasn't kicked in then?
Yeah, sure. What are you going to, you want to go all the way down there or do you want to try to jury rig something up here?
I mean, maybe I even calm down and say, you know, Sakarian, it's likely there's, you know, the backup generators need to be flicked on, reset, primed, something. You're closer. It's got to be on the sub level. Do one of you want to go check or should I walk all the way fucking down there and do it myself?
PK and I can check it out. Why don't you do what you can to set up that situation and make sure it's ready to go. We'll get the juice flowing and then we'll make contact.
All right. Sounds good. I'll keep you updated.
So I kind of look at PK and very morose, but not like unprofessionally morose, not like moping or some shit. He's just like, let's go see what we can do about the power situation.
Yeah, she just gives you a stern look and like flicks the safety on her rifle and the gun powers up, makes that kind of like a flash charging sound. And yeah, she nods and then the two of you head off.
After Mr. Fugazi says that over comms, I say, should I go grab Maru? Bring her up here?
Oh, you said it to us?
No. This is just me and Lost right now, right?
Okay.
Yeah. I think I would actually say like, yeah, I mean, now that it's just you and me, like what is the plan? What is going on with Maru and why did you not want to tell Sakarian? Or did I totally read you all wrong?
Well, no, you read me right. Okay. But like, we didn't see any of those ninjas come out of nowhere. Maru told me this crazy story about them. She thinks they're demons. So I just want to be really careful about, like, you know, we tell him out in the open, like we tell him, maybe we like write it down on a note and give it to him. Maybe we have like a, like we use code and tell him. I just, you know, just for the time being, I really want to make sure that those ninjas are gone before we tell him. But just like even talking about it so much right now, I'm just kind of on edge. You know?
I mean, I don't mean to shit on your logic or anything, Lost, but does that mean when Maru comes back, it's totally possible that we might get a return visit from our friends?
That's definitely something I'm concerned of. I really want to ask her if she has a tracking device on her. Maybe you should start searching for a device on her. I mean, how did they find her? Maybe it was the sword?
I tell you what, why don't you search for the tracking device? Let me see what I can figure out here in the communications room, at least if they get the power generators working, rig something up so we can do an emergency broadcast. But we should probably do that. Otherwise, we need to keep drugging her.
You got any more of it?
I think I have one more, actually. Well, I don't know. That was a flashback, right?
Yeah, that one was just a freebie.
So then I think I have two.
Yeah.
I guess I opened my ring up, and I'm like, can you top me off?
As much as I want to help a brother out, you got to understand that I feel like I need it in this situation. If I need to heal or... something else, like
you've done enough already. You've done enough. I'll go find her. Did we pass by any MRIs on the way up?
I don't imagine that you would have. No.
Any imaging devices? X-rays.
There was a selfie booth.
mean, you're in a like essentially
perfect
like
lighting.
A futuristic TV studio. So yeah, lots of like 3D cameras, video cameras, kind of thing.
Because there was the
graphics workstations.
Oh, I get it now. So the science lab we went through wasn't a real science lab.
There you go. I love the idea of Mr. Lost like in that science lab set being like, you think they got any chemicals right here? And then Fugazi's like, it's a TV station.
Well, there's what about maybe I guess before I leave the room that Mr. Fugazi's in, I look forward like really strong magnets?
Yeah, I can't. I'm trying to think of like an appropriate piece of equipment that would have like a powerful magnet in it.
Is there a fridge anywhere?
You know, actually, Adam, you know, there's anything that like.
Check your packs, do a luck check. Maybe you took a giant magnet.
No, the things they put the fucking test tubes in and shit, you know. It was known in about 2149, they switched from a standard gear system to a completely magnetic system.
Right.
It used the cylinder.
Actually, that being said, like the elevators are probably maglev. So there's probably some kind of magnetic component in the elevator.
I think they talked about that in Sharpest magazine, the successor to Sharper magazine, which, you know.
Yeah. They're built on ancient Korean elevator technology. So
yeah.
They're super powerful.
Yep.
So do you think I could grab one of those elevator magnets?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know
if that would help me find the thing in our body.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So that's what you're looking for.
Yeah. I mean, if it was like surface level, I mean.
Yeah.
At least if she awoke.
Yeah, I turned on this incredibly powerful magnet near your body and I just yanked the device right out of you.
You know how people can get like small magnets embedded in the tips of their fingers so that they can like feel electromagnetic waves? Well, she didn't know where the device was and like, she was
using the equipment in an abandoned TV station to make some kind of like electromagnetic detection device. I have let other players in this universe get away with weirder bullshit. So yeah, I mean, if that's a thing you want to like take some time to do and rig something together, do you have post tech though? Cause you might have to be the idea man on this one and just get Fugazi to do it for you.
Is it just called?
Yeah, it's called tech post. No,
I have minus one in it.
So you're going to have to be the Steve Jobs to Fugazi's Wozniak and tell him what you want him to make. And then he could try to do it.
Nice reference.
Thanks.
Okay. So I guess I like walk out of the room, but then I come back in and I'm like, dude, that's not a real science room.
All right.
He's like standing in the bathroom. He's like, what are you talking about? It's fucking dinosaurs in here.
Do you know how to make something that just generates electromagnetic waves?
I know how to manipulate chemicals. All right. I'm not some short haired Chinese Irish punk ship engineer who like knows all this crazy technical shit that I don't know.
I think I heard of that one. Aren't they dead though?
They don't exist yet, actually, but that's just an aside. Or maybe they don't. I don't know. The answer is I do not believe I have anything within my skill set that would allow me to do that. I do have a tech post tech of zero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I mean, you could try. It'd be difficult, but like, I mean, you're not like making something that, because basically you're just looking for something that can find foreign matter in somebody's body.
I got it.
This is
I got
crazy. But like, Mr. Fugazi's vibrator wouldn't work, would it?
Look. I can make a
that's for putting things into people's body
at any time. Yeah. Like you give me a fucking stick of gum and a like a brass coil, and I will make you a makeshift hot plate, and we will, you know, be good. I will do my best to help you out here.
All right, for Maru.
Can you make me a drug that detects these things? Yeah, you eat this, and you will trip out so hard you'll be able to see electromagnetic waves.
Super fast tapeworm, dude.
Yep. Okay, so
you want me to post that roll?
You can try to do. Let's see how that goes.
All right. Oh, snap.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can probably put some. It's gonna like bombard her with some kind of radiation or whatever. But you could get it in like a single burst. It'll blow itself out like an old magnesium flash like film. But it'll take an image, and you'll be able to see like it's essentially like just a single burst X-ray device, just by like strapping a bunch of cameras together and doing some sci-fi science crap.
Reverse X-ray.
Yeah, but it takes you some time. So you gotta like do that. You've like scavenged the office. And so while you're doing that, while you're building your detector device, downstairs, we see the camera panning along a bundle of cables on the ceiling. There's a pool of light, like from the end of a flashlight, that we pan down. And then we see PK and Sicarian moving down the hallway. You're in some drippy sub basement somewhere. It's like hexagon shaped hallway with markings at each junction, and you can see like water pipes and these electric cabling above. And you're following her through the tunnels.
Okay, I just have my plasma projector, not up in like military style, but just in front of me, walking around.
Okay.
Being quiet otherwise.
Okay. Yeah. So you're following these cables towards the generator, and I think what happens, you get to the door into the generator room, and PK opens it up, and you come past her to check it out, and there's a big generator, and it looks like somebody's been down here already, because a bunch of the cabling and stuff that would lead from the generator out into the building is leading out of like a hole. There's this big like awkwardly drilled like hole in the concrete, and there's some cables that obviously don't match any of the equipment in here that have been fed through that hole and are like clamped into the generator. The generator is currently off. It would run off of like a fusion cell, but it looks like somebody was like siphoning power off the generator, which either killed it or it's off for some other reason.
Okay. I mean, I don't have any skill in this kind of thing, but I'm just doing a cursory glance and looking at it. And I guess I would, do I think PK has any particular skill with this kind of thing?
I don't know. You could ask.
Say, Miss PK, do you, have any particular skill in this kind of thing?
She looks at you and she's like, well, I am pretty good at turning shit on, but machines? Shakes her head. I mean, I think, and she points it, there's like a big switch that's like down. It's like set to off. She's like, I think that's the on button.
He gives her a tired look, I guess, and then looks back at it, flips it.
Okay. Yeah, you flip it up and it hums and kind of like rattles a little bit. And then a little power gauge comes on, and it only just barely, like it just goes up a little bit to the edge of the red. There's maybe like 10% left in the batteries. And she nods and she's like, there you go, boss. See, that wasn't so hard.
You're better at that than you are at shooting machine guns. I'll give you that right now. And then he hits up the comms. He's like, you've got 10% battery usage. So make the message quick. Make it now. Give him our coordinates. Tell him to come immediately, please. We need assistance.
Yeah, so upstairs, you hear like, all the equipment kind of like turn on the emergency lights. It's still quite shadowy, like quite dark, but it's on. So.
All right. I guess I say to Lost, like, Lost, you take care of Maru. I've got to get working on the comms.
Yeah. I'm like already back out the door down together.
Yeah. So you're carrying what looks like a piece of like stitched together like Fallout tech. Like it's like four video cameras that have been taped together, and then like a big sheet of plastic behind them, and like the back end has been like cut off the imaging sensors, and then there's like a long kind of like antenna with like a light bulb on the end.
I then again walk back into the room and I ask Mr. Fugazi if he could be so kind as to show me how to use this.
Yeah, I mean, you literally just point it and pull the trigger.
I'm like, do you want me to fucking write you a one-page manual for this thing? Like, are you going to be good? You literally just pull this thing and hit the button.
All right. Pull it, hit the button.
You got it. I'm going to get to work on these comms.
All right. She's going to wake up eventually, right?
She is, but let's hope not too soon.
All right. I go back down to her.
Okay. So you head out of the room?
Yeah.
Okay. The consoles, Fugazi, the consoles all, basically they're all dead except one. There's one computer console. There's a single screen and a keyboard. And it's like an analog keyboard. It's not even just like a hologram keyboard. So it's the emergency backup. And it's just on the screen, it's just blinking a message like activate emergency broadcast system. And it's Y/N.
Y. Yes.
Hit it. So it turns on. There's a quick message that scrolls up the screen that says it shows you like all the different studios are inactive. There's one emergency one left. So there's a broadcast studio that's used in emergencies and it's active right now. So it's like you hit a button here and then you go and broadcast from there.
Okay.
But the system before it says like, so you hit Y, it gives you a little rundown of like, record your message in this room. At the end of the message, broadcast will transmit. And then it says at the bottom, warning for use only in emergencies. Emergency broadcast system broadcasts on emergency frequencies across the broadcast area. So what's going to happen when you record this broadcast is that anybody who's listening will get it. It'll just like blast it out in all directions.
Well, wouldn't we have some sort of way for me to broadcast that would be like secretive?
Yeah, if you were doing like a specific channel broadcast.
I mean in terms of what my message is.
Yeah. If you want to try to encode the message in some kind of like secret Fotenhauer.
Right.
I believe they call it German. You can you can try to encrypt it with some kind of like basic secret message style encryption.
Like I guess I actually flip on my comms and I'm like, Sicarian, I'm fucking embarrassed, but admittedly I failed all these courses and training. But if I use this broadcast system, like Fotenhauer will probably get it, but so will fucking everyone else. You know, kind of like taking a shit and just broadcasting it to the world. As such, don't we have some sort of way to inform Fotenhauer over open communications that shit is fucked?
Adam, how much bullshit will you allow?
I might allow like a role for something. I mean, anyone who's listening is going to have like decryption ability. We could make a role.
I mean, I'm literally suggesting that there's
I'm asking you if we would have like a like broadcast.
The Red Sparrow has flown through the tube of the blue star, like,
but
just
not that, but something like that. Yeah.
Yes,
totally.
I fucking told you I didn't study this shit, all right? Like, I fucking focused on medicine.
So what are you trying to communicate? You're trying to communicate like team needs rescue, right? Basically.
Yeah.
And SOS at this location.
I think the location part would probably not be able to be I don't think there's any code on planet Earth where like, you know, that would happen.
Oh, yeah, but you could.
But communicating that a Fotenhauer group is in need of assistance, I don't think we would literally say, I'm Mr. Sicarian and we need help, Fotenhauer.
Yeah, this is Sicarian in the morning and I'm desperately in need of rescue. They're going to know where you are, right? Because the signal comes from an easily traceable location. So
we don't even have to mention that.
Yeah, you don't even have to bring that up.
Okay. So what kind of role do you want me to make then to determine what's going to
happen? Let's get Fugazi to do it because he's the one making the role. But you can help because you're going to tell him. You're going to try to coach him through his through his remembering of the code signal. So Fugazi, you walk into what's essentially like a big closet. There's on all sides, all four sides, even the back of the door as you come in. There are little like bulb-shaped camera sensors. So when you come in, they all turn on, so they light up. and there's a sort of a stool just sitting in the middle of the room. What are you gonna do?
I'm waiting for. I mean, I'm ready to broadcast. I'm just waiting for Sakarian to give me the.
Okay, so you sit down, okay. And a couple of the I guess the thing goes through like a quick warm up. So all of the segments of the imaging room like blink on and off in this kind of pattern, and then something scans your eyes real quick, and is beaming basically a HUD into one of your retinas. So overlaid, you can see. In Spanish, again, it's like, when you're ready to broadcast, say this phrase. And then it has a little like Spanish phrase that basically is like, I am ready to broadcast or begin broadcast or whatever. And so the system is just listening, waiting for you to start your broadcast.
All right, I'm ready for the broadcast.
Okay. So Adam, you want me just to tell him or roll for it?
Well, I think what we'll do is I'll have you roll, and then I'll roll to see if somebody like listening in can decrypt it.
Okay, so we're gonna roll.
Yeah, let me take a look. It'll be something based on intelligence. Let's see. Probably security, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll be security. Yeah, make an intelligence security roll.
I have nothing else. It's a minus one then.
Yep.
This is the help roll.
Straight six.
This is the actual roll.
Okay, so this is the help. Now the same roll from you, Mr. Fregazzi. Now you don't have any help. Sakarian walks you through the protocols, so you get the message sorted out. And then the system, like you say the word, and you hear like just a faint like, as it begins the hailing out to everybody. And you have for, I think we actually see for like, you know, you got 30 seconds of broadcast time. We see like a bunch of kind of scenes throughout Oninsa. We see like, you know, like a broken sort of half on like television lying in some rubble that flickers on. And we see kind of an awkward looking like Fugazi with the camera on him. Maybe like a group of kids sitting around in like a room somewhere watching a hollow like soccer game. It like flickers and turns off, and then suddenly like Fugazi is there. So we get a bunch of these little like scenes of the emergency broadcast system replacing whatever anybody is watching.
Okay.
And then what do you say?
Well, do you want me to roll?
Well, you tell me what you say first, and then you can roll. What's your code? You can tell me what your the code is. Tell me what you're actually. Okay, tell me what you want to communicate. Then we can roll, and then you can interpret that and tell me how the code.
Okay, this is what I'm about to communicate.
Okay,
I'm about to communicate my identification number as it relates to Fotenhauer that only Fotenhauer would have access to, yep. And then I will use the code that I believe, after discussing with Ms. Sakarian, is the right code to use in this situation.
Okay.
So it would fire on. And a very nervous, like a very fucking sweating and like, I've actually never done this shit before. Like I wasn't. X42976 4G-392 reporting. Mister, where's your sister? Please come pick her up. The milk is getting warm. I repeat, Mister, where's your sister? Please pick her up. The milk is getting warm.
Oh my God.
So again, we see that like the kids watching the Fugazi on the screen, and they look at each other like, what the hell is this? And and then you got your roll, you get an eight. So let me
roll eight.
Okay, let's see here.
What?
All right. So we see all that. We see these like various, like you're on the screen, we see Fugazi. And then we see the last one. There's a group of I guess they're working at a monitoring station. We see some Japanese like soldiers Wasim hears this and he like looks over and like shouts for his commanding officer to like come over and listen. And he replays it for them. And the two of them kind of like look at each other and they have like a brief conversation as we fade back to Fugazi. So they will eventually figure it out, but you do have some time. And then the little like eye display that you're getting shows it's like, thank you for your emergency broadcast. System is powering down. And then in the same way, all the little like sensor lights kind of blink off. And then you're just sitting in this room with the little bulbs.
All right, I immediately then go down and start assisting the rest of the crew. Like, okay. What's done is done.
Okay. So we cut to Mr. Lost, and you are, I guess, coming back out into the lobby, like looking for Amaru.
Looking for? I mean, she should be in plain sight, right?
Yeah, totally. She should be. Should be in plain sight.
Oh fuck.
Yeah, you see El Tigre's body, but not hers.
Well, I mean, she just woke up, it's fine. I guess I look on the ground for bloody like markings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want to try and find her?
Yep, I'm gonna track Maru.
Okay. All right. Let's have you roll. Let's see. I'll have you roll stealth, but do it with intelligence.
Bloop.
All right. So you got an 8? Okay. All right. So yeah, you can see based on your assumptions, like she woke up and there's some like scuffle marks of her like getting to her feet. You don't see a blood trail, which is a good sign, because I mean she's not like actively like bleeding out. But it looks like she's like wandered off, like her tracks lead to one of the stairwells.
I'll follow behind.
Okay. All right. So you're like walking around with this big weird like X-ray gun.
Yeah,
you walk out into the stairwell, and it looks like she's like gone up the stairs into one of the offices on the second floor.
I follow in pursuit.
All right. So you you start climbing the stairs, you hear like a grunt like from above you, and then something dark comes like flying towards you through the like emergency light. Something's like falling towards you. What are you gonna do?
Just Batman. GG.
I like hold the weapon, not the weapon, but the device in one hand, and I try and catch whatever it is.
It's like, it's pretty big, like whatever it is. Do you want to try to get it? You could try to get out of the way. I mean, you could try to catch it if you want. But.
I'll get out of the way.
Okay. All right. Oh no. you catch it. It's a safe. It's a safe full of lead. You catch it and then go through the floor. Make a, evasion, I guess, make an evasion safe. Yeah. To dodge out of the way.
Was that? Okay, I see it.
Nice. Okay. All right. So you mostly dodge out of the way. You only take one damage as like a wheeled metal and plastic like office chair just gets like dropped in your head. You dodge out of the way. It like hits kind of like the side of your arm, and then it like bashes off the floor and breaks into pieces. You see somebody up above you like duck into a hallway.
I yell out, Maru.
Okay. It echoes off the concrete walls.
Okay. So I just start going up the stairwell towards her, and I just start saying, like, with every few steps, I'm just saying, like Mr. Sakarian said, Maru, you're with us now, under our protection. We have your interests at safe and safety in mind. We will keep you safe.
You're walking down a hallway, and like as we follow you, you're speaking. We can see behind you on the walls what look like cast photos from a bunch of the different like TV shows that this studio has been doing. And so we see those kind of like dusty and kind of hanging crooked on the wall as you walk. And you see like at the end of the hall, there's a door like swinging shut that looks like it leads into like a break room or something. You can see kind of like a linoleum floor as the door swings shut.
Does it look like a body was dragged up the stairs?
No. You can see like footprints in the kind of rubble, because the building's been hit by like some shells or whatever, so there's been like dust that's collected on the floor, so you can see there's footprints.
Was Maru small? Like, was she a little shorter? Do they look like smaller footprints?
Yeah, you're pretty sure it's her.
Okay. I follow.
Okay. All right. So you come out into the like little break room, and there's a vending machine that's broken. It's been like looted. There's like some candy wrappers and stuff on the floor. There's a refrigerator. Same thing. It's like open. It's like cans and stuff on the floor. And yeah, you see Maru in the room, and she's holding a like a kitchen knife. And she like points it at you when you come in, and you can see like you've been around. I'm gonna just go ahead and say Mr. Fugazi when he's kind of strung out.
Yeah, I think
she's not really seeing you. She's just kind of like shaky, and she like points the knife at you and shouts something in Japanese.
Yeah, man, that guy makes some really good shit, Maru. You know, I get it. I put the gun down. You know, I'm not threatening. Look, I told you you'd be good with us, Maru. You're a little too good now, right now. Like, just it's okay. You wanna talk it out, Maru?
Let's get a persuade. Let's get a persuade roll from you.
Oh, snap.
Here. Talk her down.
Classic persuade rolls.
Classic.
I got a bonus because I've given her such great talks in the past.
I think that your great talks bonus is probably negated by her strung out penalty.
That makes sense.
I mean, you get your shit. Yeah. All right. So yeah, she goes from like glassy eyed kind of cornered animal look to, yeah, like she like blinks hard a couple of times, and then she like recognizes you, and she drops the kitchen knife on the floor. And I think she's got her back up against the wall, and she just kind of like slides to the floor and is just like muttering in Japanese to herself.
I pick up the device again, and I start walking towards her. And I say, like, we did it, Maru. We saved you.
And she looks up at you, and she shakes her head. She's like, what happened? All I remember is, and she like looks at her, and she's like, why is my hair wet? What's going on?
They came. They really came. They came for you.
Yeah, yeah. She looks around frantically, and she's like, "Are they still here? Where are the others?"
Some of them are fine. Unfortunately, our favorite comrade, El Tigre, fell valiantly in battle. Very sad.
But everyone else is all right. And you know, when she's saying everyone else, she means Mr. Sakarian.
Yeah, he. You know, we'll talk about it later. But he doesn't know yet. And he was incredibly distraught over what happened. He thought you were dead.
And she nods and she says, not dead yet. In pain, though. Did I get shot?
Well, how did she get sliced or shot?
She got shot.
Yeah, shot, yeah. Yeah, you definitely got shot.
She nods and she's like, well, it wouldn't be the first time. And then she looks at the contraption in your hands and says, what's that?
How do they know you are here?
I don't know. I mean, and she looks like she has an answer, but she's too embarrassed to tell you what it is. She just like looks at the ground like she's ashamed or embarrassed to say.
If you were giving someone intel about where you would be, I think you would be best for us now to talk about it. If you don't want to be here with us, you know, we can part ways. I'm sure Mr. S will be completely fine with that. I'm pretty sure that's the option he gave you before.
No, it's nothing like that. I've never seen one before, and so all I have to go on are stories from when I was a little, and they always told us that they had magic, okay? It's magic. Magic is how they found us. And then she kind of like looks at the floor again, like, God, sounded even stupider than when I thought about saying it in my head.
You know, Maru, I really didn't believe you, but those things are definitely something else, so it's fine. You know, maybe it is part magic. There's something different about them, you know?
She looks at the gun again and she's like, so.
Well, I just want to take like a real quick scan of your body, if you don't mind, because if it's not magic, you know, it could be crackers.
I just want to take a scan of your body. Girl, it's all good, girl.
It's not fine.
Don't
it's
worry
fine.
About it, girl. That ain't nothing creepy, girl. My body.
I just want a scan of your body, girl.
Take off your clothes.
Oh, I didn't ask Mr. Gazi if that's what needs to be done.
Female Adam being analyzed by male Caitlin.
We only now suddenly realize.
Out of the game, roleplay!
All this time, Mr. Loss was played by Ryan Gosling. she kind of like looks at it and looks at you again, and she's like, that doesn't look very safe.
In my hands. You know, said as she walked closer with the giant X-ray gun.
Sicarian
gave a slight quiver.
Sicarian de Bergerac over here.
Wow.
Overcomes, yeah. Tell her you want to touch her butt.
You don't even need Tumblr when you have Jeff.
Yeah, so she's still like sitting on the ground with like her knees kind of like up against her chest. Covered in blood, and her hair is like damp from the rain. And you like are kind of taking a step towards her with this weird put together X-ray gun.
Caitlin, yeah,
you might not know this because this is our first game playing together. But my long time dream is to have Adam have sex with himself on stream. Two Adam characters.
I could grab Tigra's body, maybe. I mean, she looks lonely.
It's fine. It's totally fine.
Okay, I guess I take a step back. You know, I was getting like really caught up in it, and you know, having been like a politician, I am a bit of a psychopath. So you know, like yeah. Like empathy, kinds of things are kind of hard for me. So I, you know, I look at the gun, and you know, the wording that I chose, scan of your body. Maybe I could have like phrased that, made it a bit more fluffy. So I just put the gun down on the ground. And I sit down beside her, you know, and her hair is wet. I like brush her hair away from her face like I did before. And we just kind of sit there for a while without saying anything. But
yeah, I think she kind of stares at the wall, and you can tell that she's like a little, like still a little queasy from the drugs. And she looks at the gun after a few minutes of like silence, looks at the gun and kind of turns to you. And she's like, it's no big deal. It's not like I've never had my body scanned before. Like looks at the floor. Whatever, let's get it over with. And she like stands up.
So clothes or no clothes?
Do you ask her that?
I guess I asked Mr. Fugazi, but he's not here.
Mr. Fugazi, optional.
Do we need to take her clothes off for this to work properly?
Make a luck roll.
I mean, I guess it's fine. You know, it'll probably penetrate deep enough. Well, I mean, does she have any like metal on her? Like, does she have?
No, I mean, there's probably like some like buckles on her uniform or whatever.
Oh, okay, just to be safe, I just ask her to remove the buckles. That's all. Anything buckled.
Okay. All right. So, she takes like another like deep breath and kind of sighs and like starts undoing the like buckles on her like outer uniform.
All right.
And then maybe we fade to black on that erotic moment. So I think that you we cut back to like all of you are back together, right? Like where, because you said you're going back downstairs. Imagine after the X-ray device situation, which we'll talk about that later. But if that's, you know, if you would go downstairs after that, like, I think everybody meets up in the main room, right? That was in the lobby.
Yeah.
That was the plan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The entrance area.
Okay. All right. So you're in the entrance, and Sicarian, you and PK are the first ones there. And I assume you're just like watching the doors and like keeping the area safe.
Yeah. Just waiting for them.
Okay. All right. So Fugazi, you'd be the next one to come in.
Okay.
Do you have anything you want to say to Sicarian before?
Before
like a loss comes down.
I mean, if I haven't already, I let everyone know the emergency broadcast went out. But like at this point, I guess we sit and wait.
Okay. All right. So I think that the bodies, like you had put them in another room so no one could see them. So PK and Sakarin, you hadn't gone to like check on them because you'd have no reason to yet. But I think that the three of you, you and PK and Gazi, are standing there when the staircase door opens and Mr. Lost comes back holding like a, you have your the X-ray thing, and it's like basically it's like a Polaroid. It's developing. So it's rolled up. You've got it in your hand. It's just a big piece of like cellophane, essentially.
When I see Mr. S, I want, like, do I see Mr. S before Mario also comes out of the door?
Yeah, she's behind you. She's like coming down the stairs.
Okay, so I guess I asked Mr. Fugazi, like, hey, did you let everyone know?
No, that's your job.
All right. Didn't mean to throw you under the bus there. I'm sorry. It is. Mr. Fugazi tried to tell you all earlier. Maru, and then I like walk out a bit further and point to her.
Yeah. So Sakura, and you see this. You see Hanako like come out of the hallway behind Mr. Lost.
I'm like so throughout this entire thing, there's been a lot of white noise, like just talking coming out of the squad. And Sakura's not really all about that. So he like kind of saw them walking in. And then kept looking at the door. And then when he said Maru, he like kind of looked back, like what? And like gave one of those like what the fuck looks. And then as she walked over, or like I can see her now, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's like got his gun trained on the door. He just kind of drops his gun, looks at her, and is like, I don't understand. He says that, and then just starts like shambling over towards her.
Mr. Fugazi, man, he makes the best stuff.
He like softly pushes Mr. Lost aside and just like very like it's not a typical cigar. He just doesn't understand. He's just like looking at her like, you were dead?
She nods. I was.
Yeah.
No, now I'm not. And she's like, she laughs when you both talk at the same time.
I think after she says not, he goes in for a kiss. He scoops her in for a kiss.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So yeah. So that there's this moment, and I think that we get the like the romantic moment of like the light coming through the sort of broken wall, the dust mote sort of hanging in the air. And you you pull her close to you and kiss her, and it, you know, this would be where the music swells a little, and then we hear PK in the background go gay, and then you break the kiss, and you both like, she turns and looks at PK, and PK is just like, just does this, yeah. And she's like, we have a mission, let's go.
All right, as he
I do this to PK,
he like, looks back at her, and he's like, I don't really understand, but I felt like I had to do that. I need you to know I said you would be safe, and now that I know that I have another chance at this, you've given me a new perspective on life. And I know that sounds stupid, but it's real.
She shakes her head, and she says, no, I don't think it's stupid at all. I spent most of my life in close quarters on a starship. I've seen a great many things in the last few months, but... And she kind of like looks down and she's like, none, I think, have changed my life as much as you. And she kind of gets like shy and like looks away.
Yeah, he like, he like kind of like looks to make eye contact with her and is like, no, you've done the same for me. Like my whole life, all I am is a soldier, but I see now that there's a lot more to this, and I need you to make it out of this. You're going to make it out of this. And he gives her his sidearm. And says, I only give weapons to those that I think deserve it, and you deserve everything. So he gives her that, and then he goes back, scoops up his gun, and says, let's get the hell out of here.
Okay, cool. Yeah, she checks it. Like, as soon as you give it to her, you can see she just goes through, like, she's not even thinking it. She just, like, checks it, like, make sure it's clear and, like, ready to fire, checks the ammunition, and then puts it away. And that happens like while she's still being kind of like shy about the whole interaction you just had. She does it. You can see, like, you've seen soldiers do this on muscle memory before.
Mm-hmm.
So she like, yeah, locks it up, tucks the gun away, and nods sternly. And I think that's when we hear the explosion. So somewhere several stories above you, you can hear it. There's a loud like bang. And the whole place shakes, and dust sort of like falls from the ceiling, and I think we cut away to the outside of the building, and we can see there's a hole in one of the walls, and there's all this like dust and smoke pouring out of it, where something has just struck the side of the building hard. There's no fire, but there's like a big broken like hole in the side of the building, and then that's when we fade to break.
What the fuck was that?
We'll see what all that was. Romance, action, and more when we get back. More Swan Song stories coming up.